My 49ers travel up the 5 to play the Rams in SoFi. I'm going to beat in that bitch, too.
I'll be rooting for the one and only Rams. I don't want y'all to score a touchdown. I don't want nothing good to happen to y'all. Y'all knocked the Cowboys off, so one thing I can't do is not root for y'all. I'm going to go down with my squad.
I feel you. Y'all suck. Welcome back to What's Burning. Jack, what's happening?
Cooling, my brother. What's the word?
Man, a nice little playoff week in the football. Some good basketball on the way, man. Let's get to it. Man, West Side Connection. A lot of pivotal games going down in the West this week. Big games. Mavs versus Warriors Tuesday. Warriors are second in the West. They've cooled off of late. Draymond's been out with that calf injury. Klay rested for some knee soreness. We'll get to more about Klay later. Meanwhile, man, the Mavs, 8 out of their last 10, 5th in the West. Top 3 defense right now during this run. And someone I think you and I mentioned on another show, but Jalen Brunson, man, at 16, 5.5, shooting 50% from the seat. Possible X factor, but in the conversation for most improved player. Jack, what are you looking at with this upcoming Steph versus Luka matchup?
It's going to be a good matchup, good basketball, must-see TV. I think this is a reason why I always say Draymond should be MVP. You know, you have the team, you have Klay coming back, you still have your young stars. With Draymond out, the defense is nowhere where it needs to be. And you don't have that anchor and that playmaker on offense like you always have. So, Draymond is a big part of that team, and that's why you see seeing them slide of late. With Dallas, yeah, we spoke about Brunson being a tough guy and that guy that brings the force for the team. But you never expected to be a point guard, right? And you can only get so far with your muscle being a point guard. They're going to have to find somebody in the inside to be their muscle and be their enforcer to protect Luka and stuff like that. But Brunson's doing a great job. He's definitely at the top of my list, if not first, you know, behind Tyler Hero for most improved.
I like what you said about Draymond because, like I said, his numbers aren't overwhelming, but it's across the board every single night. It's 9-9-9, and he'll fuck around and have 5 blocks and 3 steals. It's wild numbers like that. But like you said, we know he's probably in the first spot for possibly a defensive player of the year. But what people don't understand is he's really the quarterback of that offense. Draymond is at the top of the key or at that free throw line area throwing dimes the entire time. And that's why people, like I said, they're going to hit their stride once he gets back. But he is so important of just kind of orchestrating that offense again. Now he has Klay back too. They're going to get going. But I agree with you, man. Like, his importance is, I definitely think, undervalued in the Warriors' success. Next up, we got the Phoenix Suns and the Utah Jazz. They played Monday, second time in a week. Suns, best team in the NBA, and I think they're overlooked. I personally overlooked them. But to be honest, they won 9 out of 10. They've been very consistent. You know how this game is about luck, Jack. Your stars got to stay healthy. And they've done all this with Ayton. Ayton's only played like 28 games. He's missed about 9 games out of the last 13. So really hats off to CP and Devin Booker and the rest of these guys, Coach Monty Williams, on keeping this team where they are, clearly the best team in the league. Thoughts on this game?
It's going to be a good game. I knew that things would come back and have a good regular season. I'm just not confident in them winning a championship. They're a great team. They can compete in the West. I just don't see them getting back to that championship form with teams not being surprised of them coming now. You know Phoenix is coming now. You know you got to prepare for them. They're the best team in the league during the regular season. Utah, that's who Utah is, man. They're going to play well in the regular season. They're going to have a great defensive team with Rudy Gobert anchoring the team. But, you know, we've seen this before. I just don't believe them when it comes time. We always write about Utah. So, it's going to be a good game, man. Hopefully, things will be different this year for both teams. But that's just how it's been. You know, us, the Suns, just can't get over the hump and be a championship team. And Utah, just who they are.
See, I'll disagree with you with the Phoenix shit. I think, you know, we could say what we want about how they got there. They got there last year, got their feet wet. And the only reason why I would say it wasn't – luck, and I think they can do it again, is because they got a real three-headed monster and one of the best leaders in the game. And not True. To mention all their role players. They got, you know, people like JaVale McGee. They picked up Bismack Biyombo. And you know what CP does with big, strong, athletic bigs that roll to the basket, man. So I really feel like the Phoenix Suns can be a contender. On the flip side, I agree. And I've been saying this for maybe the last 2 years. They are a great regular season team. They move the ball. They shoot the ball very well. But they're missing one more score. They need that consistent, along with Donovan Mitchell, that 20-point-a-game score. You know every night he's going to be in that 20 range. And sometimes they get it from Conley. Sometimes they get it from Bogdanovich, can get hot on you. But just consistently, night in, night out, you know, Jordan Clarkson will give it to you off the bench. But I think they need that solidified Robin to Donovan Mitchell's Batman. So I agree with you. Jazz got a heavy schedule, though, because after that they play Memphis on Friday. The Grizzlies passed the Jazz in the standings, 10-2 in January. Morant's averaged 26 a game. Thoughts on that matchup?
Going to be a good matchup. Memphis is just rolling right now. I think they're the team that everybody wants to see. They're the team that is on everybody's radar. Ja Morant is definitely playing in the all-star caliber like he should be, carrying his team and even the role players, even the guys that's coming off the bench, they're coming in and doing their job, not doing more than needed or less than needed, just doing their job exactly. And that's why they're playing well. And this is one of the hardest playing teams in the league right now. So I think every time they're on TV, every time they're playing, people watching them now.
Kind of piggybacking off what I said about their matchup earlier in the week. And then with, you know, Donovan Mitchell being out, he does so much for their team. You know, leading scorer, third in rebounds. He's a big part of that team. They've lost 7 out of 10. Without him. So you look to guys like Mike Conley to step up. Clarkson, you need Rudy Gobert to be more aggressive, you know, one of their role players to get going. But yeah, like you said, the Grizzlies, you know, I think they've come back down to earth a little bit. Morant's still been playing great, but the most exciting team in the game right now. So this will definitely be another good matchup on Friday night. Jack, let's check in with the Miami Heat. Now the number one team in the East. They're starting to get healthy. And we see Brooklyn and Chicago not healthy. The one thing about the East, though, is I want to say 2.5 games separates 1 to 6. And on the flip side, on the Western Conference, I think it's 12 games that represents Phoenix and Denver. So you can have a good week or a bad week and go from number one. And as you see the Bulls falling, I think they're 3 now. Your thoughts on the Miami Heat? We've always been very high on this team. I think they've flown on the radar just how they want to. Bam's back right now. They're 3-1 in his return. He's at about 18-9. Thoughts on this Miami Heat team?
We talk about Memphis playing hard and being one of the hardest playing teams. Well, this is the grittiest team in the league with talent, you know.
And a lot of talent.
And they play the style of basketball that we like to see. They physical. They're gonna be physical on both ends of the ball, offense and defense. They got the guys that's gonna get in your face on defense, and you got scores. You got proven all stars: Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler. You know, Bam Adebayo's back. This team can really do some damage in the East. Everybody's worried about this team. We be talking about Milwaukee, Chicago, and Brooklyn, but we need to start talking about them because with this team healthy and the way Tyler Hero's playing, man, this team is gonna be scary.
This team is only 2 years removed from the finals. I think how quickly people forget that. Again, I just think they've been, you know, playing good basketball under the radar. Everyone's getting healthy. It's all about being healthy at the right time. They got the All-Star break coming up. They're going to get to rest a little bit. But, you know, KD is out. Lonzo Ball had knee surgery. Caruso had a wrist injury. LaVine, some knee trouble. So it's all about being healthy in today's game more than ever. So, you know, hats off to them. It's got possibly the best coach in the game, and Eric Spoelstra. They're sitting nice, and they'll be ready for the playoffs. They're definitely a blue collar, hard working, play the game the right way, and like you said, they got stars to really carry them. Next up, wish everyone were going to be healthy and playing in this game, but Nets at the Warriors, Kyrie at Steph. Both teams obviously dealing with key injuries. KD with the knee injury, Draymond down, Klay was a late scratch, one of these previous games due to knee soreness. Still going to be a good battle, possibly still far away, but a finals preview. Jack, thoughts on this game?
I think games like this, for these type of teams, this caliber of teams, is good for guys like Kyrie, for guys like Klay, even if these younger guys that's coming off the bench to get more playing time. To get more, you know, reps at it. And Kyrie needs the reps. Everybody knows that these two teams are going to be in the end of it. You know, going to be there at the end. You know what I'm saying? When it's time to play for the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Championship. One of these two teams are going to be there at the end. So I think for them right now is just to try to stay healthy, get Kyrie reps, get these young guy reps. So when the team is healthy and everybody's full, the team is full and they have their normal rotations, then guys will be ready to play and fill in and do what they need to do.
Agreed. Selfishly, I can't wait to see that Kyrie-Steph matchup. You know, two of the best in the game. You know, you know how Kyrie, they both take it personal when they play each other, man. So that's definitely going to be a great showdown. You know, also real quick about Klay, he came on with such a splash that people have to understand. They thought that he's back. This is going to be a process, man. He like a late scratch for knee soreness. He's been out almost 2.5 years, you know, so he's going to have to climb his way back slowly. Knee soreness. He's probably going to have some quad and calf issues. Hopefully, you know, knock on wood, he doesn't. But that's just normally what happens is you get these little nicks coming back from, you know, major injuries, but just being out so long. So, again, I think they understand that it's a marathon. Shout out to Nip, and it's not a sprint with Klay. So, perfect to your point, you know, Jordan Poole came out and dropped 20. These guys, young guys off the bench, got to stay ready. But definitely looking forward to that Steph and Kyrie showdown.
He dropped Jordan Clarkson, too.
Didn't he? And Jordan Clarkson knew it, gave him the boo-boo face and everything.
Yeah.
Next up on the radar, presented to you by DraftKings, Jack, Lakers have a big week ahead. But before we get to their schedule, AD was a late scratch, tried to get warm, couldn't get warm. That instantly tells me he needs to sit back down for another week or two. If there's any kind of pain where he feels like, you know, it's just not there with his big bulky knee brace, sit down, man. Maybe sit down to All-Star break. You know what I mean? And get some good practices in over that time and then try to come back. But the fact that it kind of scares me that, you know, he's been out since the 17th of December with an MCL sprain. He comes out with a big old knee brace, can't really get warm. Sit him down, man. Sit him down. There's no rush to get him back, although they really miss him. Sit down and rest. But the week ahead, they're 1-1. They're on their Grammy trip right now, although the Grammys aren't this week. This is normally the Grammy trip for them. 11-day trip. They're broken even. They beat Orlando, lost to Miami. Next up, they got a wounded Nets team at home, so it'll just be Harden. There'll be no Kyrie. We know KD's out. Then they go to the Sixers, where Embiid is playing like an animal, and they finish up with that young Hornets team in Charlotte. Jack, they're one game under 500. Do you feel like this team is over or under 42.5 wins? Thus far, they're 23-24.
I'm going the way it looks, I'm going under. For the simple fact that anytime somebody's out there warming up with precaution, that's basically saying that the organization is trying to make you come back quicker than you are ready to. When you're ready, you just go out there and warm up. But anytime you go out there and warming up with precaution, you know that's the organization trying to push you back ahead of time. And that ain't a good look. They need AD. They know he already fragile. You got Shaq on the sideline screaming at Russ, telling him you're playing too fucking fast. I just think that they don't see what people on the outside see. You know what I mean? Anthony Davis, I don't think he's going to be 100% for the rest of the season. You know, especially coming out there with that big old brace. That's going to affect his game a lot, with the athleticism being a big part of his game. He's not going to be able to move like that with that big old brace on. So I know that the organization's trying to rush him back, but AD, be smart, bro, because this can be something that can make you miss the whole entire next season if you go out there and try to push on that leg. You might end up hurting something else.
Yeah. I mean, we don't really know, and I agree. You know, sometimes it is the organization. This could be AD. It could be a combination of both. But I think at the end of the day, we're almost – we got one more week left in January, 2 weeks into February, then you have the All-Star game hit. So why rest him to the All-Star break? So we know that – he has that much more rest, and then they're going to make their stretch run, getting him back in shape after All-Star break. But coming back too early can be very detrimental. We all know that. And he's injury prone. So wish him the best. So you got under 42.5. That means they'd have to win like after getting 19 and around 19, 20 more wins to get that. I'm going to be optimistic and say over. Just because you said under, I'm going to say over, just to say. But, again, because we both have talked about this, I feel like they're going to hit their stride after All-Star break. LeBron admitted it. You know, I'm having one of my best, you know, scoring seasons of my career. I don't plan on stopping. LeBron is playing off the charts right now. I always tell people, Jack, when you play in L.A., particularly for the Lakers, there's so much more to it than basketball. You know, Russ has got a chance to play in like Oklahoma, D.C. Some of these, D.C. is not a small market, but Oklahoma definitely is. There's noise, but it's not as loud. When you're playing in L.A., the noise is every single day as loud as it can possibly be. So even for guys that don't, you know, have been great at blocking it out, in L.A., you're going to definitely hear it. I remember talking to Kobe. Remember Kobe told us, I heard it all, and it all hurt. Remember that? And we know he was one of the most tough-minded motherfuckers this game has ever seen. So Russ is on that same kind of tough mind frame, but I know Russ is hearing the chatter. And then to hear Shaq tell him, you know, slow your motherfucking ass down. This team is just, there's so much noise around it. But I think, you know, with LeBron, they're going to be able to silence that post-All-Star break. Hopefully they don't rush AD back. Let him rest till post-All-Star break. And really just, you know, that last 6 weeks, get right going into the playoffs.
Yep.
We got a midseason special with our homeboy Kendrick Perkins. It's out now. Make sure you go to Showtime Basketball YouTube to check it out. Here's a teaser. Man, it's coming up on 2 years since the passing of Kobe,
damn.
Gigi, and the other people on the helicopter. Man, sending love and light and energy to the family. Perk, real quick, you had two run-ins with Kobe in the finals. Talk to us about both of them. You got one at home, then you got hurt in the finals, and they got it at home. 2010, he said that was the loss was his hardest loss series he ever took, and in the win, that was his best championship.
It was. In his loss, Kobe gave everything he possibly could. Like, we was to the point in 2008 where we was like, you know what, we're going to give Kobe. We ain't going to give it to him, but we can't stop him. So it is what it is. You know, Ray wasn't stopping his ass. So we already battling down there with these two trees and Lamar Odom. So it was like, we got to cancel everybody out. He going to get his. But let me tell you, with that 2010 shit, it hit different. And I feel like it hit different for Kobe because I was watching. And, man, he struggled that whole game. He really kind of struggled that whole series. But every team, the team that won that game in that series won the rebounding battle. And Kobe knew that shit. So in game 7, I thought he shot like maybe 6 for 24. From the field, but I believe he had like 15, 18 rebounds. Six or seven of the motherfuckers was offensive to go to the free throw line. Like, that's how bad he wanted that shit.
He willed.
Yeah, he willed. And then you have to realize this. It was him. Yeah, he had Gasol, but Gasol wasn't the same at the time. And no disrespect to Gasol, but he's not in the same, he's not in the same conversation with Kobe, Ray, Paul, and KG.
Right.
So in Kobe eyes, it's really
one against three.
Yeah, it's one against three. And I didn't took y'all down. One deep.
Played the dragon.
Yeah, one deep. I got y'all.
One deep.
I got y'all. One deep.
You was playing well though too before you hurt your knee. You was playing really well out there.
We was out there trying to get it, man. We was trying to get it.
Sir. Jack. Your moment that stands out to me, obviously you guys had some great battles in the league, but your McDonald's All-American experience, like you said, talk to us about that. You knew the vibe coming in. Kobe stamped that you should have been MVP. Talk to us about that 96 McDonald's game with Kobe.
Man. I mean, that was a good experience, man. You know, just being able to grow up with him, you know him as a teenager and seeing the player he become. You know, one of the greatest ever to do it, you know. But for me, my greatest moment with Kobe was when me and you was on Golden State. It was a tie game. No, actually, we were up 2. Kobe comes down and hits a 3.
Yeah, I was going back and forth.
I come back and hit another 3. Kobe come and put us up. Kobe come back and hit another one.
In L.A.
In L.A. Then I come back and hit another one. And just so happened, we played them back-to-back nights. We played them
home first
in L.A., then they go to state. But just that night, you know what I'm saying? I watched that game all the time, you know what I mean? To be going back and forth with him on that stage was something I always remember. But he said he was going to be one of the greatest, man. He did that. A lot of people say shit and don't do it. Mm-hmm. Nah, he did that.
He did that.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to see, you know, from going to someone I watched since I was in college up at UCLA, coming up on campus to competing to almost getting into a fight to become a teammate, to really getting to know him as a brother, as a man, as a father, and just the bond we built outside of basketball. We had some cool times during basketball, but, you know, him always sending the twins. Every time he dropped a shoe, he sent the twins in their team shoes. if the Twins played at 9 and Gigi played at 11, Kobe would hit me the night before. What time you guys play? 9 a.m. Kobe would come 2 hours early and watch the Twins play.
Shit, you know came by.
Sitting on it, like, I'm going to go watch 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds.
Real but, shit. But
he just did it because he loved it. So just to really get a chance to see him outside of the Mamba, to get to know Kobe was a very dope experience to me. So, again, man, rest in peace to our brother, man. We love him. We miss you. Make sure you check out Kobe Bryant, Muse, on Showtime. Great film. Great doc. Next up, one of our favorite segments, fan questions. Make sure you guys keep sending them, and we'll keep answering them. This is my Fista. Do you think a one-game suspension for Grayson Allen was enough for what he did to Caruso?
Fuck that, no. Let me and you do that. That's a guarantee.
Three.
I might be suspended for the year.
At least three. But what I'm saying on the flip side, though, not to cut you off, Jack, I'm fucking Grayson Allen up. Like, next time we play them or another team that comes in and sees what he's doing, I'm giving him a hard flagrant foul too, straight off the rip, because he's known for doing and I don't necessarily think he tried to hurt him. He knew that it was going to end up with him fracturing his wrist, but at the same time, that's a dangerous. You know, as basketball players, when people are in the air, they're super fragile. You mean, so you're grabbing some dude's arm, something bad's going to happen. But off the rip, I'm fucking Grayson Allen up. Next time Chicago plays him, and if I was on a team, Jack, and we're going to play Milwaukee, I'm fucking him up just off GP, because you know you shouldn't be doing that.
I'm glad I played on teams with a whole bunch of real niggas. You know what I'm saying? And I mean that when I say that, because if something happened to me like that, somebody going in Grayson's mouth with a nice right hand or left hand for me. If I can't get to him, somebody else gonna get to him. Hey, I know one thing, Matt. I know I made some hard fouls in my career, but I wasn't known as doing shit like that to hurt a motherfucker, right? You know what I'm saying? And like, he's known. This ain't the first time he done some shit like that. He did some shit like that in college too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So this ain't the first time. So they need to watch him, bro. But one game, hell no, that's not enough.
I like Grayson Allen though too, to be honest with you. I love how hard he plays. He's a tough-nosed player. He's had a great season for that team. But every once in a while, he'll do some shit like that. And it's just, someone's got to teach him a lesson.
Next fan question at fred.7723. What is your favorite Kobe story from a guest you've had on?
Man, so many people have talked about it. Man, that's a hard question, to be honest with you. Does anyone come to your mind?
The only stories that I can remember, because I've heard them on the show and off the show, was from the battles him and Rip Hamilton had growing up in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, with games where Kobe had 50 and Rip had 48. You know, games like that. That's the type of stories that I vaguely remember from one of our guests.
Right. I thought it was dope when Don Staley mentioned that he was in high school coming up and playing with the Sixers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's dope. So, yeah, I mean, so many people have talked about him. I would have to really sit down and think about each guest, because, I mean, we make it a point to, you know, carry on our brother's legacy through a show like this. So, good question, though. Sorry we couldn't give you more than that, though. Lil Marsky. What team that's playing now do you compare to the We Believe team?
Memphis to me right now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Undersized. Well, they got some big guys, but they play small. They play hard. They play fast. Athletic point guard that's leading the team. We had that with BD, so kind of similar.
I wish people could really saw. Go back and watch Baron Davis highlights when he was on, because he was doing some shit with us in Golden State, but I feel like his most athletic time was he was with the Charlotte Hornets, because people are going to say, oh, you're crazy comparing John Morant to Baron Davis. Nah, Baron Davis was bigger than John Morant, doing similar shit, if not the same.
If not more.
I'm going to keep it all the way at 100 with you. John Morant's a bad motherfucker in the MVP conversation. But go check out Baron Davis highlights when he's with the Charlotte Hornets, and you'll see what we're talking about.
You won't be disappointed.
At all. But, yeah, that's a great call. I love the way this Memphis team plays. They got a bunch of dogs that do a lot of different things, and that's the same thing, you know, we have. So that's a good call. Good question.
Next fan question, SJC4401. Is Jrue Holiday an all-star this season?
I think Jrue Holiday has been an all-star a handful of times in his career. But I just don't know. There's so many Eastern Conference guards, and I kind of compare Jrue Holiday, different type, different players, because Jrue was just as successful on defense as he was on offense, but to someone like Joe Johnson, that like the whole league knows is nice as fuck. Like everybody knew Joe was nice. You know, we always talk about how nice we think Jrue Holiday is. Is he an all-star this year? I hope so, but I don't know.
With the way it's panning out in the East, Matt, and all the guards, I don't think so. If they ever send two from that team, it's going to be Middleton and Greek Freak. So, agreed. You know what I mean? I don't see him being an all-star, but like you said, he has the respect of an all-star all around the league.
Straight up. Consistency, too. He's consistent at what he does. Jamaican Prince 03, if you can be in any era besides your own, which one would it be and what team? Oh, good question. I'm going back to
right the now. I would love 80s. To be in this era right now, and I would like to be on one of the teams that's in a fourth, fifth, sixth spot, somewhere around there. That way I can go in there and kill and get 100 something million, you know what I'm saying, and do what I need to do. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying, I did that with less. Let me make 150 and watch what I do.
So you can go to, like, Milwaukee is 4, Cleveland is 5, in the Western Conference, Utah and Dallas. Out of those four
teams. Send me to Dallas. Yeah, because I can go over there with Luka. I'm going to average about 18 to a dub. Mm-hmm. People from 15 to a dub. And shit, that's payday right there.
And you got a right cross with somebody acting crazy towards them.
Yep, they already know J. Kidd. No, I'm going to protect Luka. Yeah, it would be this era for sure because the bread is heavy.
Yeah. You made me change my mind. But if money wasn't an issue, I'd want to go back to like the 80s or the 90s. I'd want to be in that one era where you could hard foul motherfuckers to keep playing. And sometimes you really got to fight and you weren't going to get fined like $100,000.
Yeah, you had to ice yourself back then.
Yeah, I would have liked to really tape your own ankles. No, but I would have liked to play in that real physical era. I think that would have been dope. But that money era, I mean, you just made the money era sound
man
real good. Money ball.
Sweet.
Man, Jack, I'm not going to motherfucking lie to you. This was probably the best weekend of football I've ever seen in my life. And I wasn't feeling good, too, so I got to sit back and watch.
I have to agree with you, bro.
Man.
I got to agree with you. I got games. I've seen a lot of football. But yesterday was probably the best day of football I've seen in my life.
That goddamn Chiefs-Buffalo Bills game, they scored, what, 26 points in the last 2 minutes of the game. Man, Mahomes does what Mahomes does and got them down, hit Kelsey up the seam. They kicked the field goal.
Tampa Bay Rams game was crazy.
Man, what?
Tampa Bay Rams game was crazy, bro.
Hey, Brady got Brady'd. Man, hats off to, Matt Stafford. You know, he's always been waiting for this opportunity. You know, all
we had a chance to get him. The Cowboys, y'all had a chance to get him.
Yeah, he's a gunslinger. And I was talking shit, too, on Twitter yesterday during the game because I wanted to play the Rams. That's right up, you know, that's a home game for us. Week 18, there was so much red in that motherfucker. And I said that Matt Stafford – butthole gets tight with pressure. That motherfucker made the perfect throw, led the team down there to kick the game winner. Brady, you think Brady's done?
Nah, he's not done, man. I mean, they still almost won that game. You know what I'm saying? Like, just think about it. He did everything he was supposed to do.
You going up against
one of the best D lines ever. They getting pressure every time, and it's hard to make those plays. You know, and it was a lot of passes dropped too. Then you got to think. He doing that with guys that they filling in. Guys that ain't played all year. You know what I mean? Right. So I still take my hat off to Brady. I don't think he done. I think he's gonna sit down, him and Gronk and the coach, they're gonna come back with a couple more weapons. They're gonna add, make it one more run.
Yeah, no, I agree. The football guys, it was funny. The football guys were with Tampa Bay, man. They gave the Rams were giving chances, the fumbles, all that they had their chances. Obviously, like you said, missing key weapons. What was your thought on, even though he didn't create it, AB posted on his story about the Bucks being out.
I mean, some
ha-ha shit.
You know, to me, that's just something I wouldn't do, me personally. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't do it. Like, when the Spurs cut me right before the playoffs and I couldn't, knowing I couldn't sign another playoff team, I didn't go in the meeting and say, fuck Pop, fuck the Spurs. That shows your character. You know what I mean? And, like, I think that's low on his part, bro. Like, okay, you're not on the team no more. Move on. Whether they win or lose, it has nothing to do with you. You know what I'm right. saying? But the fact that you wishing the worst for these folk, you know what I'm saying? It says a lot about you, bro. I don't wish the worst for nobody.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? I'm straight.
You mean Tom Brady got this dude in two different spots? He got him in New England.
And if you happy, you ain't hating, Matt.
Come on, man. I agree. I just think it's a bad look, man. It's definitely a bad look. And, you know, the way he talked about Tom once he left, and I'm just like, these motherfuckers are really giving you a chance, bro. And you out here laughing at him and posting memes. And, you know, the common thing, you know, because I don't know enough about AB to really make one, but the common motherfucking theme is him with these teams. Pittsburgh got him out. The Raiders got him out. New England got him out. Tampa Bay got him out. Like, how much more can it be them against you? And we both know, because, Jack, we've both been in a situation where we probably talked our motherfucking asses into getting traded. But at the end of the day, like, you got to look at yourself in the mirror, bro. Like, okay, I'm the common theme with all this craziness. But, you know, back to the point, I think it was a bad look because this dude's a Hall of Fame caliber receiver. You know what I mean? And these motherfuckers is watching everything. You know, and I think deep down he's hurt because he really still wants to be out there. That motherfucker wants to play football. So this is kind of his way of, you know, laughing at it. You know, I guess maybe the high tears, man. But I hope he, you know, just have just a little bit more respect, bro, because the common denominator in all this shit is you.
I mean, if I was running around hanging with Madonna, Kanye, you know, and all these other people you're running around with,
blown too,
the
huh?
last thing I would be worried about is the fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Nah, but deep down, like I said, I think that, like, we're all athletes and competitors, and he's a bad motherfucker, man. You know what I mean? So I think, obviously, deep down, he'd much rather be out there. So maybe it's laugh instead of cry for AB, man. So we'll see if he gets another go around, but that's – was an ugly taste. But let's get to this week's games, man. NFC Championship, AFC Championship. First, let's go into the AFC side. Bengals versus Mahomes. Joe Burrow versus Mahomes. Two good offenses. Kansas City's defense is tough. Thoughts about that?
Man, since my team somewhere on vacation sipping daiquiris, I'm pulling for the Bengals, man. I'm going for the underdog. I like Chase. I like Burrow. I was a fan of Burrow in college. You know, LSU is the squizzard. I'm pulling for them, man. I want the Bengals to win. Obviously, Mahomes and Kansas City is a big battle. It's a big task for them, being underdogs. But they've been playing well. And I think they're going to gritty themselves through a little gritty dance on out of here to the championship all the way to the Super Bowl. Bengals, man. I'm going Bengals.
The Bengals, boys. Before I give you my – I want to say shout out Josh Allen, man. That motherfucker is a monster.
Yes, he is.
240-250, gets downhill, will run a DB over and hurt him. One of the best arms in the game. The you know, if I feel like the Bills would have won that game if they would have won the coin flip in OT. That's how good both those quarterbacks were playing. With that being said, Mahomes is a motherfucker, man. And I like Burrow. I like the underdog. But I'm a fan of Mahomes. I'm a fan of Kelsey. I'm picking them boys to win. Next up, we come out west. Ooh, it's going to be a showdown out here, Jack. My 49ers travel up the 5 to play the Rams in SoFi. I'm going to beat in that bitch, too. It's going to be crazy. Niners have beat the Rams 6 straight games. We beat them in week 18 to even get to the playoffs. We're a 6th seed, man. Knocked off them boys. Knocked off Green Bay this past weekend. I got to roll with my team. You know, it's going to hurt my feelings when we end up playing KC in the Super Bowl again. But anyway, man, I got the Niners. And one more thing, there's going to be a lot of red, too, in SoFi representing the Niners. So it could possibly be a home game for us anyway.
I'll be in Montego Bay in an overwater bungalow watching this game, rooting for the one and only Rams. I do not want y'all to win. I don't want y'all to score a touchdown. I don't want nothing good to happen to y'all at all the whole game. I'm like Dave Chappelle. I'm hating. Y'all knocked the Cowboys off, so one thing I can't do is not root for y'all.
But wouldn't it feel good to get knocked off by the Super Bowl champs, though?
Nah. It feels better to call you and say, welcome to vacation.
Yeah, we can run a bet back too if you want. You still owe me some money from the Niners Rams. We can double back if you want.
I'm definitely not betting on any team but the Cowboys.
Why would you bet on the Cowboys? I bet on the Rams before I bet on the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm going to go down with my squad.
I feel you. Y'all sunk. So, okay, I got Niners, Kansas City. You got Bengals, Rams. Yep. Who would you pick in the Super Bowl if it was the Bengals versus the Rams in the Super Bowl? You rolling with the Bengals all the way out?
I'm going with Bengals all the way out.
And I got the Niners all the way out. So we shall see.
Closing thoughts. Shout out Ayoka Lee, Kansas State Center. She sets the NCAA Division I women's basketball record with 61-point game. Not only just a 61-point game, Matt, but against number 14-ranked team, Oklahoma. That's big. 61? 23 for 30 from the field, bro. 15 for 17 from the free throw line. 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, no turnovers. Talk to me.
Man, shout out. I saw the highlights on ESPN, and she was all old school. Back to the basket, getting it done down low, man. Shout out, 61 points. That's a lot of points.
Welcome to the WNBA, Ayoka Lee, if you keep doing that.
For real. For real. You can catch What's Burning every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube.
And on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Show Basketball. Peace.
See y'all next week.